Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
Hello, this is three-time WWE champion and hardcore legend Mick Foley.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Can you hear me?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
More good news.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
They say he can't be killed. They say he drinks blood.
The Omega.
We mustn't compare ourselves to regular people. We're artists.
Heartbreak Mike.
I'm a man of few words, but those words will count.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
He must have been king of the wicker people.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
No shit.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Shut up. Listen.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's the best there is. And I know, because so am I. I'm Austin Aries.
WTR Sunday Night.
10 seconds of transmission.
Now, you fellas have said some pretty mean things, some of which were true.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's another week in the wacky world of professional wrestling, and we have WWE Backlash on the way. The brand split is complete. We have separate pay-per-views and separate things happening. We're going to have a lot of 11 o'clock shows.
Yes, be prepared for 11 o'clock Eastern, 9 Mountain Time, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, joy of joys.
I know. It's going to be amazeballs.
So let's enjoy the 10 p.m. while we have it. I am the be-all, end-all of the network, Omega. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, everybody?
He needs more spirit than that.
I think you robbed it from him, Rock.
Yeah, you did.
And he's proud of it. He cackles about it.
Yeah, I kind of do at that point. Because anyway, here. Oh, we have to stall for 30 seconds, so let's not introduce the Canadian. Can't do the Canadian just yet.
Okay, all right.
We need to talk about how awesome our fantasy teams are doing.
Yeah,
they're amazing. Man. They're amazing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, can I borrow your word for a second?
He's not here. That's why we're stalling for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Rage.
So we talk about team squash and team positivity.
Rage.
Oh, man. It's like Mike's still here.
I know. But it needs to be, I was going to say deeper, but that's not the right word to use.
Rage.
No, you're going Hulk now.
Yeah, he really is. But we should kind of introduce him, but Omega, you don't have to worry about it.
Oh.
And now, here is the star of WTR Sunday Night, Tim Stein!
Why didn't you guys wait until he actually said he was back to play that?
Because the song was ending in 7, 5, 3, 1.
6 and 2. What the fuck happened there? American Scholastic System. Wow.
Because it actually ended at 55, but it read at 57.
Jesus, yeah. Greatest country on earth. 7, 5, 3, 3, 6, 7, 1. Go.
Yeah, it's the alphabet.
Yeah, I suppose you expect me to actually kick off the show, don't you?
You could if you really so want to.
Well, the problem here is I'm actually looking for a movie to play in the background while we do WTR. I don't know what to watch.
As you do that, since he's back now, I can do the proper introduction.
Okay, go ahead,
and now, here is the star of WTR Sunday night, Tim Stein.
I'm waiting. I'm just waiting.
You have the distinct feeling we're going to need another co-host.
All we got are multiple dots on the
screen. Fuck all of you.
There it is. Hi, Mike.
I am innocent. I had nothing to do with this.
This was all Rock. He was doing a fall cleaning on his hard drive and came up with shit that you did back in 2009 when you were young and foolish.
I also found things when Omega was young and foolish and had awful...
No. I am not so young and foolish.
And awful audio quality.
I found... God, yes.
Yeah, you're not as young. How about that?
Since then, I have found money, but no sensibility.
Oh, by the way, it's the main event, Omega.
No, God, no.
The main event?
That's what he called himself back then in 2009.
He did, didn't he?
He did.
As opposed to the be-all, end-all. Either way you look at it, the guy's still fucking narcissistic as hell. What, you're going to deny the truth?
Not denying it.
Okay, you're just saying...
But you use terminology that compares me to Lex Luger. I take offense to this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the original All-American. African, of course.
Omega's still trying to buy the bus.
Jesus.
I'm not so much trying to buy the Lex Express. I want the rights to the music he had when he was touring around in it.
It's the music.
It's all in the music.
What, you don't want the Star Spangled Tights, too? And tassels?
White's not really my color.
His skin is naturally white because he lives.
Yeah.
I'm going to get both you white guys mad at me and make Mike laugh.
Though I... Honestly, thanks to Pokemon, I'm getting a decent tan.
Well, that's...
Speaking of which, I got a Marowak.
I'm ready for my Gyarados.
Yeah, it's about time you climbed out of the basement. Hey, everybody, officially!
Wow.
Good evening.
Really? Look,
that's a stereotype!
Yeah, and some people actually fit it. Welcome to another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wars Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Labor Day! Some people don't have to work tomorrow, so they get to stay up late tonight.
Rage.
Oh, what, you're raging because you have to stay up late? Or you gotta work?
I gotta work tomorrow.
I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to rub it in.
It's fine. I get time and a half.
Well, then, you know, here's some salt.
Jesus.
Yeah, so a couple of things have happened in the past week, and we're going to be talking about it, but we're also going to be playing Pick'em tonight, guys. Aren't you all excited for WTR's Pick'em?
We're going to be having a lot of Pick'ems.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've deduced. It's either going to be a pay-per-view recap or a pay-per-view Pick'em.
And that's basically what it is. Every other week is Pick'em. Every other week is the review show. Or the reaction show, depending on how we feel.
Yeah, we just have an official pay-per-view segment now.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's going to work. So tonight is the first of the series of every other week Pick'ems. I hope you guys are used to it. We're going to have to do some serious jigging around of our format, because we wind up having so much to talk about and so little time left now because of all of this. But, yeah, it kicks off tonight. And tonight's Pick'em, of course, for Backlash. Don't forget to play Pick'em. You can play along with us in the chat room, but you want to make sure that you post your Pick'em picks on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like one, join the other. And, post your Pick'ems there. You can also email your Pick'ems to media@wildtalkradio.com. And if you're bold enough, you can tweet them too @WildTalkRadio and @FlamesForums. Like if you tweet them to Wild Talk Radio, tag me. Just tag me.
Tim wants notifications, so send him all the notifications and mentions that you can, because he wants to feel special on Twitter.
I'm up to 958 followers on the Twitter machines, Rock.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'm catching up to Omega's 7,000. I'm closer to his 7,000 than you are, so shut up. Wait a minute.
No, you're not. You're really not. You're like 400 below me, so, you know.
Yeah, so, just follow me at Wild Talk Radio, and tell me you're an idiot at Wild Talk. Just like tweet, you're an idiot at Wild Talk Radio.
Anyway, we're talking about Backlash tonight, and it reminded me of this.
Completely not
Did I get
me.
Bumped from Backlash?
I'm not good enough to call backlash!
Poor Joey, he's not good enough to stay employed with the WWE either.
And I'm currently watching Backlash. The one where Shawn Michaels teams with God.
Oh, God, how long ago was that? Was that 2005?
2006. 2006. Because RVD has the briefcase.
Okay. Yeah.
Officially the year Shawn Michaels didn't find God.
The only time since he became born again he didn't find him.
That's the joke.
I get it. See, I'm following along.
Again, you can tweet, I'm an idiot, at FlamesForums.
Hell Talk Radio. But in all seriousness, if you're on the Twitter and you're not following Wild Talk Radio, follow Wild Talk Radio at Wild Talk Radio. Follow me at Flames Forums. You're going to get all manner of tweets. I'll be talking wrestling. I'll be talking hockey. I'll be talking food. I talk about everything. And then I bet you about politics. So, follow me and get a good laugh.
No, if you want a good laugh, follow at TJ Omega.
Hey.
That could be misconstrued as a shot.
It could. I'm a comedian. How?
And for all the rage, go to at the WTR Oreo.
That didn't sound like rage. That just sounded like he just woke up.
Give it time. Just give it time.
It has to build up.
It's boiling up. He'll get there when we have to talk about Miz versus Dolph Ziggler later in the show.
There you go. Yeah. So, once again, WTR Pick'em coming up in our final segment of the evening tonight. But kicking off the program, let's all, say yay, because Kevin Owens is the WWE Raw Universal Champion.
Before anyone comments, points.
Shut up.
Bitch.
Thank you, Lindsay.
You can go piss up a rope, along with that intern. I do believe that was my tweet after he rubbed it in. Go piss up a rope.
Wait, the intern rubbed something in on you?
You missed the implied shot?
Omega got it, anyway.
Anyway, I'm just ignoring you.
I'm going to mute my microphone now.
Yeah, maybe you should mute your microphone for a minute. Guys, Kevin Owens, champ, better idea than Seth Rollins? What do you think?
Better than Seth? Yeah.
Definitely better than Roman.
For one thing, I don't have to worry about his opponents.
Amen.
There you go, yeah. Would you have been that upset if Seth had won it?
Upset's not the word. Not surprised.
Okay, yeah. So having Kevin Owens won it is sort of a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, very much so.
We were all, I do believe, the night before sort of doing our wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, Raw. You know, the smart thing they would do is give the belt to Kevin Owens. That's basically what our conversation on this boiled down to. Were they listening, or did they just get lucky?
We haven't had the mole in a while, have we?
No, we haven't. We haven't. Mm. But I have some mole insight for you on this current storyline and how it came about.
Okay.
For the longest time, it was rumored that Seth Rollins would be squaring off against Triple H in a match, probably at WrestleMania. Okay? Then Rollins, champion at the time, got hurt, got put on the shelf. They decided, oh, shit, what are we going to do? Let's give the belt to Roman. Everybody was happy about that, weren't they? Exactly. So here's the original idea. Believe it or not, Roman Reigns was scheduled to turn heel and be backed up by Triple H, which would lead to a match between Triple H and Seth Rollins. First, Seth got hurt. Then Roman got busted with amphetamines. They decided to basically alter and rejig the story, delay it a little while, and instead of Roman Reigns, because he's still being punished, they would give it to Kevin Owens. Triple H would be in Kevin Owens' corner, and the match between Triple H and Seth Rollins is still in the planning.
That one doesn't surprise me. That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the teacher and the protege eventually turn on each other. That's how pro wrestling works.
Well, if we had that clip from Star Wars, the last we met, I was the pupil. Now I am the master. That would have been a perfect clip for this.
It would have been, but that takes preparation. And when have we ever had that?
Oh, God. I think once back in 2009.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a good year.
It wasn't my favorite.
What was your favorite year, Tim?
I've had a few. I mean, 1969 was pretty cool.
You just like being able to say 69.
1969, and I wasn't thinking anything naughty. I was thinking the moon landing because, well, I just marathoned all of the space, you know, the spacewalk, moon landing, Apollo mission documentaries available on YouTube over the weekend.
Mm.
I was bored.
Apparently.
And so I watched that and it just, you know, got me to thinking, yeah, 1969 was pretty cool because Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. He was my first hero, barely old enough to remember anything, but I remember that, which just makes me feel exceedingly old right now. Anyway.
You know, I held off on a very easy old joke before and you just like filled in the gaps for me.
Yeah, I know. I was just waiting and I figured, well, what the hell, let's go for it. But are you guys ready for Seth Rollins to actually be a face now?
I don't know. He's such a good heel.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't know how I want them to take the story.
You're not completely sure, eh?
He plays it so well. He's like just very, he's so slimy and disgusting.
Yeah.
Like even when he came back, like he's so like, set in heel, he just went right back into that role, even though he had, like, you know, the injury and the return, which typically means you're instantly a face.
And the then keep going.
You know, and then immediately made sure, nope, healing it up, staying heel.
But the crowd is still behind him, and it's the type of reaction that Stone Cold Steve Austin was getting when they first brought him in as the heel before he became the anti-hero.
Oh yeah, well it's getting yourself over as a face the hard way.
Yep.
It's earning the crowd's respect with performance.
And that's exactly what Seth is doing. But here's the shocker, Omega, Mike. Seth becoming face, you've all seen the Clash poster that's out there. It's rumored at this point, but it's 95% this is what's happening. I'm talking about Triple H is in Kevin Owens' corner, standing behind Kevin Owens. Seth Rollins, and behind Seth Rollins is Mick Foley. Behind Mick Foley is Stephanie. Can you handle Stephanie on the good guy team?
So, spoiler alert, by the way.
Oops.
Just in case anyone was excited about Backlash next week, fuck you.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Now, it sucks that they go and they release this poster this far in advance. It's a bit of a piss me up, really.
Oh, it happens all the time. It's happened before. It'll happen again. The thing is, cards subject to change.
Just said exactly what I was going to allude to in my next line, so now I got to think up something else to say.
Because we've seen that before where something happened and everything in the promotional posters there that has to get switched around at the last minute.
And yeah, it's, you know, it's always, and that is the out for all promoters. The problem is sometimes every promoter gets lazy. They've got their shows booked in stone 6 months in advance. They accidentally release info on the next event after the current upcoming event. They release it too soon. People say, oh, well, there you go. You just ruined this upcoming event for us because of what you did for the next event. And the promoter say, hey, read the bottom. Card subject to change, even though it never does.
Sometimes that's really on the WWE because they have to have that kind of info and those kind of graphics out to various networks and various websites, you know, that they promote to.
Well, no.
That is on a certain time.
Yeah, not only that, it's the upcoming house shows, you know, get your tickets now. They're on sale 3 months in advance. See the WWE champion Kevin Owens defending against Seth Rollins. Hey, wait a minute. Seth's got the belt. What are you talking about? That monumental kind of a screw up has happened, I think maybe 3 times that I can remember, but it still happened. It's a rarity that they bugger up that badly, but there is precedent. It has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, but I don't see Seth Rollins and Stephanie being absolute, you know, the babyface team. Tweener, sure. I mean, Steph and Triple H, you know, they're still going to be playing the married couple and they're still going to be getting along real fine on camera, except for this one little thing that Triple H did to support Kevin Owens. Other than that, everything's going to be peachy keen.
Steph's in such a weird spot right now in the first place.
Yeah.
Because, oh, my brother got hurt and Brock will face repercussions, a whole $500. And then when Paul Heyman mocks it, like already it's an insultingly low amount. And that's the whole point. And then he comes out and mocks it by trying to pay it off in dollar bills.
That was funny, actually.
That was funny. And then she takes it all seriously. Like now she's like super serious. How dare you mock this?
Yeah.
You know, and there's not a bit of like sarcasm or like mustache twirling about it at all. Mm-hmm. Like she's like really into like, how dare you mock that? That's a serious fine.
Well, you know, here's the whole thing that I got out of it. Steph's allowed to pick on her brother, but you're not. And that reminds me a lot of my family. I've got three brothers, four sisters. We pick on each other incessantly to the point where one brother of ours will have nothing to do with six other family members. Talk to two of them, me being one of them. And there are times I wish he didn't. Anyway, but if somebody were to do or say something exceedingly disparaging to that one sister of mine he has a huge problem with, he's going to defend her to the death. I hope that's making sense to people.
Oh, it is.
Good. Because that's, you know, that's basically what I've been able to like glean from it or get that feeling of at the very least. But yeah, it was kind of like, you know, a $500 fine. Are you kidding? Come on. Wait a minute. I'm serious about this now. This is serious shit. But $500?
Does Steph not understand what big dollar amounts are? Does she not know what we're paying Lesnar?
Well, she should. I mean, an air princess, right? So, but, you know, getting back to the overall thing, we're having a hard time wrapping our brains around Seth Rollins being a babyface. Mike, could you accept him more as a crowd favorite tweener than a babyface?
You said Rollins?
Seth Rollins, yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, because I'm still trying to sink into the point of, wait, Kevin Owens won? Huh, that's a thing. I mean, because people were not expecting. Well, I'm sorry. WWE fans were not expecting Seth. Oh, well, Kevin to win. Wrestling fans were wishing and hoping.
And
the moment, and the moment that it happened, we were just like, wow.
That just happened.
Good job, Vince.
Yeah. Well, or booking and creative, whoever.
Yeah, well, good job booking. And creative and all of that. And it was just an amazing thing. Now for Seth Rollins to be a face / tweener, yes, I can. But the way that that this is playing out, I feel that Kevin is gonna end up being the face.
Kevin being the baby face?
Even though he's not you know how WWE's crowd are. They're very indecisive, but they're smart. They're not cheering on who's a heel, who's a face. It's just by talent. They're now cheering on what's real talent and whatnot.
Well, you know, they cheer on who they like for the most part. Doesn't matter if the baby heel or angry face.
Yeah.
Baby heel.
Yeah, the baby heel or the baby face. Omega. Owens, baby face. Do you see it? With Triple H in his corner?
It's so hard. It's hard to see it either way because both men play heels so good.
They do.
But here's the thing. Kevin Owens is the face in this situation. Also means that thing with him and Jericho is eventually going to split and we're going to get some great matches out of them.
Jericho, of course, being the absolute master at drawing crowd heat between the two of them. No matter how good Kevin Owens is, he's the student. Jericho would be the teacher in this situation. So when that eventual breakup, split, and clash does happen, would it not make more sense for Owens to be the fan favorite in that one?
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm just having a harder time wrapping my head around Kevin Owens being the baby face.
You think of him in a baby face. I'm trying to think of a good parallel here. It does kind of have an Austin vibe of I'll do whatever I want and people are into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something better because it doesn't quite work that way because Austin would still play to the crowd as a face. I can't see Owens doing that.
Yeah, but at the same time, would Owens have to actually play to the crowd?
Well, he wouldn't have to pander.
No.
He'd have to, no, just, you know, don't mock the place you're in. Don't go for the cheap heat or the cheap pop. Just do what you do. Be Kevin Owens and just keep the performances at the top level.
I mean, I could see him being the type of guy that winds up being the guy that the crowd cheers for or the crowd boos, depending on who he's fighting. And like this, not just the one person at one time, but the string of people he's fighting and the string of people he's hanging around with when they do the let's hang around segments.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yeah, you're right. He doesn't have to change his character or his personality. It's not being one dimensional. It's being able to get over both sides as the same person. That's very, you know, there are two different ways of doing it, being one dimensional or being so layered complex, believable, and real that it's organic. And I think Kevin Owens is the latter. What do you think?
I think in a last minute decision, like a change of direction because Finn got hurt, we ended up in a situation where I always prefer the WWE, where I genuinely don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see that they are trying to do the Seth Rollins Triple H feud.
Yep.
But right now, I don't know if Kevin, just for sheer crowd support, is going to end up the face in this situation. I don't know if Seth is going to turn face so he can feud with heel Triple H. I don't know if Triple H just turned face because, God, the crowd was into that, really into that. But then again, he's up against Foley, who's definitely face, and Stephanie, who is
between a rock and a hard place,
flipping like a fucking coin. Let's be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said,
I swear to God, that scene with Paul Heyman, she's like face, heel, face, heel, face, heel.
When was the last time Stephanie McMahon brought a babyface character out in front of the audience? Like 100% babyface.
Trying to remember how she kind of came back when Triple H was still running as a face. Like when he was like, you know, before he pedigreed Daniel Bryan's face in.
That would be a while back, and that was storyline Broken Arm against Brock Lesnar when Triple H was the babyface running the company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steph was still a bitch back. Air quotes, I'm just talking storyline. I mean, I'm not actually calling Stephanie McMahon a bona fide bitch. Guys, get on Twitter, quit complaining and calling me out. Oh my God. But yeah. The last 100%, to the best of my memory, babyface run Steph had was when she was feuding with her dad, which led up to the match between each of them. How long ago was that?
Oh God, it's been a while.
That was like near the beginning of the Attitude Era.
I'm sure it wasn't that far back. If you're going to take it that far back, then the last time we saw Steph as a face would have been her tied to Undertaker's cross. No. I mean, I know she's heel in the Alliance. I know she was heel. And she was heel when the Bellas were feuding.
Mm-hmm.
This really does pose a question, because I know she's heel more than face, but I could swear, you know, you have a point in there where...
The only time she was face was 2003, 2004.
Okay, everybody, here's your homework, is to figure out the last time Stephanie McMahon was a babyface.
Stephanie McMahon was a babyface, the 2003-2004 Ruthless Aggression era, when she was general manager. It was her feuding with Eric Bischoff.
Someone went to Wiki.
I did not go to Wiki. I remembered because for the fact of HLA.
Oh, God.
Ooh, HLA. Great idea on paper, but not for WWE.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What?
And not to mention, like, I think it was because that was when Stephanie fought Sable. And I think, we all knew how that happened. And... it was pretty much, she was younger, but I like, that was a good Stephanie. She was pretty much like, I'll do this for the people, yada, 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 but I am a McMahon and I'll kick your ass. Oh, wait. And then there was another time she was quote unquote babyface, when AJ Lee started saying a couple things and Stephanie McMahon said something.
Let's be fair. Steph is a face anytime WWE has philanthropy work to do. Anytime the women's division has anything to do.
Anytime there's a female cause to support for anything.
It's okay. See, she's taken this just like her husband in certain situations, like when Triple H could be the biggest villain in the WWE, but when he goes down to NXT, you know, he's
the biggest babyface on the planet.
Yeah. He's Uncle Paul.
One thing I love about Stephanie, she'll do the role if she needs to.
I mean, but like, it's like anything, like during the Divas Revolution, where she brought in, you know, Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha, she was absolutely a face in that situation.
Because people were not stupid and were like, yeah, we need some new talent. Oh, you're bringing them up, Stephanie. I applaud you. Thank you. You know what? You're a face for that moment.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when Triple H goes down to NXT, he's a face. When he comes back to WWE, he's a heel. When Steph is dealing with men in the WWE, she's a heel. When she's dealing with women, she's a face.
It's convoluted and confusing.
It's pro wrestling.
There you go.
No, it's WWE.
WWE pro wrestling. There you go. So, you guys want to bet the crowd's going to be a 50-50 split with the chance? Let's go Owens. Let's go Rollins.
I think they're going to go more of Owens than they are Rollins in this situation.
What do you think, Omega?
I would think they would be hotter on Owens right now. I would expect some dueling chance, you know, between the two, but ultimately they're going to be really hot for Owens.
Who would have thought? WWE crowd supporting another Canadian.
Have to make it back Canadians.
There you go. On that note, maybe we should just take our first time out of the evening. I mean, we've been rambling for 40 minutes. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're taking the first time out of the evening. We're going to come back, get a little bit more new stuff, and then talk some history, get into some debating. That's it. Back. Take what you can, change the things there. Isolate yourself in, you will find there's no rhyme or reason. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It has returned.
I am looking for Sarah Khan. Oh God, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my God, there's like an army of drones.
Ah.
Oh dear God.
That's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
Looking for an excuse to be home on a Saturday night?
Here, I'm going to read my 100 calls, okay? You ready for this, Rob? These are all the characters I've downloaded in 2 weeks.
Did you put this in alphabetical order?
It puts them A through C, but you're going to get a mix. A lot of them, like Mortal Kombat, you're going to have wrestlers, you're going to have superheroes. Ronda Rousey, right off of that, that was the first character I fucking think I downloaded. I ain't going to lie, dude. She's pretty badass, and she kicks ass, too. You got Ronda Rousey. Now it goes in order. That's right, she had a space in her name. Asuka, AJ Lee. Some of these, it's the only reason I got them is because of the face. Okay. Batgirl. I got Catwoman, this old school Catwoman. This different kind of Batgirl. There was so much Batman shit. Dark Phoenix. I'll tell you what. Now, this is the character I always make. Jean Grey, the Phoenix character. I always try to make the bird and the chest. It's a character I always try to make. And this character is badass. Finally, I got it right. I have two Harlequins. One kind of like a more modern, not the newest one from the Suicide Squad, but it's from the video game, where she's got pants and the top and painted face, and then I have original looking old school fucking Harlequin with the full suit and stuff like that. Very cool. Gail Kim, which again was in the face, and I was like, oh man, this is badass. Julia from Hellraiser. Rob, I shit you not, it's a chick, and it's all flesh showing.
Ooh.
Now, remember the Hellraiser? Yeah, I mean, some of these, like, I'm telling you, dude, I was like crying. I'm like, why can't I have 200 clogs slots? I'm like, I had to delete people. I had to delete the Nasty Boys. Oh yeah, it was a nightmare. You should have saw me, like, struggling one night.
Then tune in Saturday nights at midnight Eastern Time for CB Radio.
Scarlett Johansson, the Black Widow, and her face, perfectly done. Mortal Kombat.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Real Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and 100% free on the TuneIn app on your mobile device. Just download the TuneIn app at the Play Store or the iTunes Store or whatever it is for Apple, the Apple Store, I guess they call it. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can listen to us when you're on the go, whenever we're streaming audio. It's just that easy and free. And I'm just sitting here trying to figure out why Matt decided to tweet me and tell me that he's an idiot. He doesn't come across as an idiot to me, Rock. Most of the time he doesn't, but I'm just wondering why he called himself an idiot. Now, when he hears it in the chat room, he can explain his damn self. That being said, back to some wrestling news. Del Rio has given his 60-day notice. Apparently, he's going to be a free agent at the beginning of October. Why did he even come back to WWE?
Most likely paycheck and promise.
Paycheck, promise, and something to do with an intern or a guy behind the scenes that was accused of saying something racist.
Well, maybe.
You know what? Yeah, here's some money. But what are you going to do with me? Nothing. Well, screw that. I'm leaving.
What accent was that?
I have no idea. Sure was a Mexican.
No, it's one of those things where, of course, he had a lot of promises fed to him, so he'd sign on the dotted line.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get them, because it really kind of depends on, you know, the crowd actually wanting to see you perform.
Exactly.
Like, if you go up there and nobody is impressed and you're not getting a pop, you're not drawing merchandise sales, what push do you think you're going to get? And the fact is, yeah, you can make the promises, but if you're not drawing money, it's going to be real hard to keep those promises. You actually have to earn that spot and actually prove that you can actually, you know, be a player in the big scheme of things. What did he do? Like, you know, like, the only thing I saw Del Rio do to up his game. Like, Del Rio was never that impressive in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I ever saw him do to up his game was that new stomp in the corner that looks absolutely horrible.
I'm not impressed with it at all. No, it's
literally one of the dumbest moves.
Yeah.
Okay. Where your opponent, the only way to actually, for the opponent to actually take it, is for them to hold themselves up with the top rope.
Which is, like, really stupid for the opponent to do. I mean, like, you're going to stomp on my chest. I'm going to make sure my chest is not going
to
be there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally the only thing I saw him add to what he was doing before. And it's one of the worst moves I've ever seen.
Yeah. I will admit that since I stopped reading all of the dirt sheet sites and everything, and stopped getting spoiled with who's backstage and who might show up and who's going to be there, and spoiler alert, this is going to happen tonight, avoiding all of that, I was surprised at Del Rio's return when he showed up tonight that he came back and beat John Cena.
I'll give him enough credit to say the way they brought him back was a surprise, because it really is the last person you expected to actually, you know, bring him back in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a decent way of catching you off guard. That I don't mind.
So, yeah.
And they did fuck all with it.
That caught me off guard, and they did absolutely nothing. Then I find out that he's dating Paige, and I'm like, my God. Isn't she like 15 years younger than him?
And then literally, she is 20. She's 22, I think.
I mean, okay, I get it. You know, I'm into younger women as well, but not that much younger. I mean, that like gets into the creepy territory. That's. But that brings me to my question. Alberto Del Rio leaving WWE. They're both suspended right now, Del Rio and Paige. Are we in danger of seeing Paige not re-sign when her contract is up?
I think her contract is still good for quite a while. We had this talk last night where could she pull an AJ and just say, I'm retired, I'm leaving?
Yeah.
Which is possible, but from what I've heard, she still has a decent chunk of time on her contract, which she would still have to honor. So, okay, yeah, you could do that and just leave and not work, but you won't be able to do anything in wrestling for 2 years.
And you're not getting any money because you walked out on the contract, so you can forget accompanying your boyfriend down to AAA Mexico or CMLL or even New Japan if he goes there. What are the chances Del Rio is going to go to TNA now that they're trying to straighten up the house 5 years later than
honestly, at this point, the boat is sinking. All the main talent left, and they're banking on Matt Hardy being able to come up with crazier shit every few months.
Makes you wonder, eh?
Kinda.
Just the tiniest little bit, yeah. So, yeah, you know, I'm not going to miss Del Rio when he was gone, when he finally leaves. I haven't missed him during his suspension, and I haven't paid any attention to any matches he's been involved with recently before the suspension. So, color me not a Del Rio fan.
Hmm. I guess I'm on the fence with Del Rio, honestly.
You're on the wall.
Okay.
Might be just another brick in that wall.
Yeah. Del Rio's not the same. We all know this. WWE, when they did it, when they treated him like that, it was hard, because now he leaves and comes back, and it's like, wait, you're missing something. Oh, that's right. Ricardo Rodriguez.
It's almost... You know, we don't want you back, but we're going to sign you to this contract because of the shit that went down. Even though it wasn't racist, and it was misconstrued as being racist because you can't be a Mexican.
Yeah. So you think it was like a pity contract signing?
Well, okay, sure. Call it a pity signing if you want. Alluding to political correctness bullshit. But yeah, the pity signing works even better.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, we can say, well, Del Rio, the only titles that he's won are the U.S., World, and WWE. Wow. Yeah, he can go. I mean, he wasn't doing anything at the League of Nations. He wasn't doing anything there.
Was doing anything with League of Nations.
Exactly. He wasn't doing as much with Zeb Coulter, because I really think that Zeb was like, but I don't want Jack. I want Swagger back. But, you know.
Zeb lost his swagger.
He did. You know, after WrestleMania, you know, he, you know.
Yeah.
No one's seen Zeb Coulter since.
I mean, the battery ran out in his cart and they just couldn't.
Poor hover around.
He's still waiting in an airport somewhere.
He's got his hand over his heart and he's loudly proclaiming, "We the people." Himself against a traffic ticket for taking that cart out onto the road and causing a traffic jam. I'm making this shit up.
Yeah. So, no, you're not at all.
Hasta la vista, Alberto del Rio. That's all I can say, and that's all I'm going to say. Guys, a historic event took place 21 years ago today, the debut of WCW Nitro.
You were right the first time.
The debut of WCW Nitro. There. Is that better?
Wow.
21 years ago today. Who else feels really old?
I do.
I feel older.
I'm still playing Pokemon. I'm fine.
There you go. Hey, I could play Pokemon. That wouldn't make me feel any younger. And just be like, what the hell is this crazy shit? Anyway, yeah, stop it. What's Nitro's legacy anyway? What did Nitro leave behind that still resonates today?
Jericho.
Is he the only active WCW talent left?
Guys who are identified WCW? Wow. You still got Big Show around.
Yeah.
He's done after WrestleMania.
Yeah, he's planning on retiring.
Let's see, who else? Because the thing about WCW is, hey, and we made fun of this ever since WCW was a thing, they hired a lot of older talent.
Mm-hmm.
They hired the guys who were, like, past the prime of their career when they left WWE, or WWF at the time. The guys that they created, you know, it's few and far between. You know, there's always Goldberg, who basically says, I will or will not come back, just so his name stays relevant. There was Sting until Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the mainstays. Flair's retired. I don't see Luger anymore.
Have you seen a picture of Luger lately? He couldn't wrestle his way out of a wet paper bag. Take steroids.
See, Bagwell's a gigolo.
Yeah, like literally.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, everybody. Buff Bagwell sells himself to women for money.
Scott Steiner's a math teacher somewhere.
He's still wrestling.
What?
I thought that would get you.
Mike, I'm full of shit. You should know this by now.
I know, but math, though? P.E., but math?
That's the joke, Mike.
I know.
Here's the breadcrumb trail. Follow along.
5% certain that's 10,000% accurate. Yeah, shit. Jericho pretty much is the last original WCW mainstay to be working the ring. Wow. Amazing. And what's your favorite?
Through the miracle of DDP yoga, which is appropriate enough here.
Yeah, there you go. What's your favorite Nitro moment, Omega? Do you have one?
It's a lot to pick from. Oh, the topic of Jericho instantly brings up backstage antics. You know, Ralphus, the 1,004 holds.
Yep. Yeah, be three better than Malenko.
Yeah.
So good.
That was hilarious.
And every fourth hold was a fucking armbar.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And if you want to find out what hold 1,004 is, go check the archives at Wild Talk Radio, because I revealed it. I asked the man himself what it was.
And he answered the damn thing, too.
Uh-huh.
And believe it or not, it was not a variation of an armbar.
It was not an armbar. I was shocked.
I was expecting the armbar.
If I want to go on to like just favorite moments in general, I'm not going to lie. I popped really huge for Goldberg winning the belt on Nitro.
Yeah.
Cause I was such like the superhero fanboy back then. It was like, I hate, like these days I appreciate the NWO for what it was before it became oversaturated. But back then I was like, my best friend was an NWO fan. Like, God, how could you do that to me?
I was very anti-NWO for, like, most of their run until they split into all these different factions. And then all you could do was decide which faction you like, because that's all that was left.
Yeah. It's like no one on that was just WCW guy was cool. And if they were cool, they were in WWF.
Yeah.
But no, that was like, that was a really cool moment. Cause it was like the evil empire being taken down and taken down thoroughly. Cause he had to go through Scott Hall that night too.
Yeah. Well, he just had two matches that night, didn't he? For some reason, I have it in my head that he fought four times to win that belt.
No. He had to get through Scott Hall and then he fought Hogan.
That's right.
But of course, it's NWO. So anytime you talk about an NWO match, you have to try and count in your head how many guys did he fight that night?
Actually, must have been like six altogether.
Well, it was actually that night. It was still only two because, well, number one, it's Goldberg. Who the hell is gonna come down and fuck with Goldberg? But it was also the only one that was going. There was only one that was coming down was Kurt Hennig. He's coming out to the ring and posturing just long enough for DDP and Carl Malone to come out and stop him from interfering in the ring. And Carl Malone laid him out with a diamond cutter.
And am I the only one to think that was the worst diamond cutter ever given to anybody?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Anytime they trained an actor or a professional sports player to do any kind of wrestling move, it was horrible. It looks so bad.
I think that's the biggest mistake that one of the biggest mistakes WCW made was they would bring in the celebrities and the sports stars and actually have them involved in the matches.
Look, it's Jay Leno and Dennis Rodman.
He's just thinking Jay Leno. Yeah, that was just like, I honestly, admittedly turned the channel when Jay Leno came on.
Because, you know, at the least when WWE does something stupid, like Drew Carey in the Royal Rumble, they know it's a joke.
Yep.
They completely know it's a gag. It's just a goofy little thing to do. They were serious.
This is the company.
They wanted Jay Leno in a wrestling match.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the company that put the belt on David Arquette. Of course they were serious. My God.
Arquette.
What would you say the number one, like the ultimate initial turning point in the Monday Night War was that started turning the crowd back to WWF from WCW?
Do you have to ask?
What was it?
It's the finger poke of doom.
You think so?
Everything that night was like that because you had Tony Schiavone doing, you know, the dirty work of spoiling the results on Raw, you know, and that's the night Mick Foley wins the belt. The announcing call heard around the world, that'll put butts in the seat. And it put 500,000 butts in the seat.
It did. Well, virtually speaking, yeah.
But this is the thing. It built up from there because Schiavone after that said, but stay right here because we have Kevin Nash versus Hollywood Hogan. It's NWO Black and White versus NWO Wolfpack. That's a real main event. You're going to see a real main event tonight.
No.
And it led to the finger poke of doom.
Okay.
It's not only the 500,000 that went to see Foley win a championship, it's also everyone that they pissed off and offended by pulling that bullshit.
Yeah, okay.
Like the people who are loyal and stay, no. Mick Foley's cool. I want to see him win, but no, I'm a WCW guy. I want to see this match. I'll stick around for this match. What the fuck?
Well, for me, it was the announcement. Don't tune to WWF. Foley's winning the title. I'm like, they're giving the belt to Cactus Jack? Click. That was it for me, right?
You're one of the 500,000.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, goddamn straight. Of course, I'm not actually being completely serious. Back then, WWF and WCW were both playing on TSN here in Canada. And what TSN would do is they would play Raw at its 8 o'clock Eastern time. And then they would play Raw at 10 o'clock Eastern time. So you got a double shot to Raw and Raw replay. And then the following night they would play WWF and WCW like concurrently. And for me, I didn't miss anything. I could watch Raw on Monday and then rewatch it on Tuesday just to see if I missed anything and then watch WCW. And when he announced, don't turn over to WWF, Foley's winning the title, in all honesty, I'm in my head thinking, shit, you know, like if I was an American, I'd have turned the channel because you guys actually literally had it head to head live, while WCW was a day delayed up here.
Yeah. Like I used to have one channel on, I flipped to the other and I just used the go back button. Just flip between them, whoever's doing the more interesting at the time. I'll stick around till the next commercial and I'll flip back over.
Yeah. I talked to a lot of people who would do that. They would watch until, something stupid happened or they got bored. Something boring, and then they flip over and watch that until it got boring, and then flip back again, and so they like back and forth all night long. So I'm sure that the Nielsen ratings were affected a tiny little bit by that.
Probably.
A few people with the Nielsen box. So Mike, are you back?
Yep.
Okay, so what is your favorite WCW Nitro moment?
Slap nuts. Nothing more. My favorite one, which was quite hilarious, David Arquette.
You're fired.
I'm sorry. It was just hilarious to me.
That was a favorite moment?
Yes, because it was just, because it was a point of, so WCW is now officially in the shitter.
They were in the shitter before that, but okay.
Yeah, you're right.
But for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disparage you. Your opinion. You're entitled to it. It's yours. And an opinion is not subject to right or wrong. It's just there, and that's what it is. So I'm going to disagree with your opinion, however.
That's fine.
So, wow. What about your opinion of a legacy from Nitro?
If it wasn't for Nitro, a lot of stuff would not happen today. Like, case in point, WCW. If it wasn't for WCW, WWE wouldn't have cruiserweights. I mean, let's be honest here. If WCW didn't have, well, what's the better word? If WCW didn't reject Stone Cold Steve Austin, we wouldn't have Stone Cold Steve Austin. If WCW, someone wants to fight me.
The hell was that?
If, Street Fighter. If WCW... if that's, WCW...
That's so weird that would come up right now.
That's my ringtone. It's my texting.
You have no idea how weird that is. I'll tell you later.
Oh, God. If WCW didn't help cement the Monday Night Wars, as well as so many rivalries, we kind of wouldn't have a lot of stuff today. Like the United States title or the World Heavyweight Championship, Great American Bash, or, God, I can't believe I'm going to be saying this, or Eric Bischoff in the Elimination Chamber. Because of WCW allowing, well, because of a certain individual buying WCW, we wouldn't have a lot of people. But WCW originally had the Cruiserweight division, and if it wasn't for WCW, we probably wouldn't have a cruiserweight division. The legacy is the cruiserweights.
Hmm.
And the little black person win the world title. Anyway, let's go.
Though it does remind me, we can also add Rey Mysterio to that little legacy list with Jericho.
Yeah, he's not active in WWE, but yeah, I guess he's still wrestling.
He's Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Okay. I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. The biggest thing for WCW was, well, the two biggest things, Goldberg and, the NWO. NWO initially began with three members. How many members did they grow to before the split?
All
of them. Like half the roster.
Yeah.
Like 20-30 guys were claiming to be members of the NWO.
Yeah. And you had guys like Disco who were claiming to be NWO but weren't. You had the LWO. NWO Wolfpack. At one time you had I want to say Silver and White as the Elite, and then like the Job Squad, which was still in the white and black.
I loved when the NW or the LWO debuted because it was led by Eddie.
That was funny.
That was awesome.
that was good. Oh, there were others.
The Radicals.
Radicals were good.
Shit.
Booker T.
Booker King. Yeah.
T. He got a lot out of Booker.
He was NWO Red at one point in time, wasn't he?
No, NWO Red was only like...
Wolfpack.
Like, I think, like, topped out at six guys. It was Nash, Luger, Conan, Sting. I want to say Hall, but then he had his issues and left.
Damn.
So part of me wants to say Macho.
I don't think so. I know Macho was black and white for a while.
Yeah, but it was like, for as much as fans remember, like, oh, there was the NWO, like, good guys. They're like, rebelled against Hogan and like went face.
The good NWO.
There was only like five of them.
So. Led by Kevin Nash. Huh. Shit, there's just a lot of stuff that you can like, you sit down and think. There are a lot of memories from WCW. Not all of it good.
Oh god, the NWO Hollywood. Oh.
Who remembers the dying days of the NWO? Everyone has either gone to WWE, or they're out for injury, or they've just gone back to old gimmicks. Like even Hogan went back to the red and yellow at the time. And your NWO, I want to say all I can remember was a match where it was the four last guys that were in like a fatal four way match to determine who the leader of the new leader of the NWO and who that was going to be. And I want to say Vincent won it, as in Virgil. That's how the NWO died. For as big of a thing as it was, there was no epic breakup. Everyone just kind of stopped doing it.
It died with Virgil as Vincent. I mean, that's just funny. Sad, tragically funny. I wonder how close to that $1 million you ever got on Kickstarter on GoFundMe.
I had forgotten about that. I'm sure a lot of people have.
We all did.
There you go. It's just like we're talking Virgil. Well, there you go. Boom. Popped into my head, so I asked. Hilarious. Anyway, rest in peace, WCW, NWO, and all that other crap that went on back there on Turner Broadcasting. Could you imagine the New Day hosting Saturday Night Live? Xavier Woods tweeted out, hey, we should host SNL.
Go ahead, Omega.
What?
You got this one. I...
Dude, I will admit, there's part of me that would love to see that. I think for, like, your average crowd, that might be a little bit hard for them to handle.
Here's the problem. New Day, sure, they're big over with wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Mainstream don't know them. Like, who the fuck are these jabronis? With a trombone that nobody knows how to play, or.
Yeah, like, the people who have hosted, like, the WWE guys who have hosted SNL, let's be honest, they did kind of make big deals of themselves.
Like, The Rock?
The Rock. Like, I love the New Day. They're not The Rock. Even though I'm pretty sure Xavier is one of the few people who can actually hang on the mic with The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saturday Night Live? No. Mad TV?
Different story.
Oh, I'm so glad I held that thought. I'm so glad I held that thought.
So Fringe, they'd fit right in. But yeah, no, it's just Saturday Night Live, when it first came out, was so rough and ready. It was great. It would have worked. It became way too polished back in the late 80s for anything like that. The Rock did really good on Saturday Night Live. One of my favorite skits was with him playing Superman. Everybody's in on the joke, and he doesn't understand what's going on and what's so funny when everybody is figuring out that just a simple pair of glasses isn't disguising the fact that he's Superman, and they set him up, and he winds up in jail. Who else from WWE has hosted Saturday Night Live? Has anyone done it beside The Rock?
I want to say no.
Everybody's on Matt TV.
I don't think...
Oh, yeah. Like, Matt TV was a revolving door for pro wrestling guys.
Stone Cold, Bret Hart, Triple H,
and Triple
Jericho,
H, what?
I think.
Triple H was on SNL, but he was like that invading group. Like, it was like him, Big Show, and someone else I can't remember. Oh, Mick Foley.
Foley.
Like, it was those, yeah, like it was those three who were tagging along to be in sketches.
The only other one that I could think of from WWE who'd be able to get a Main Street pop by hosting the show would be John Cena right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he's never done it. But I don't think anybody else on that roster would be accepted, never mind recognized, enough.
Yeah, it's a thing. Like, in the Attitude Era, when pro wrestling was such a huge deal, then yes, you would have had guys. These days, when it's fallen back to a more niche audience, not so much.
Maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin could host it. But, you know, again, that's the alumni thing, not current roster.
Right.
Technically, The Rock is actually on the current roster still.
Didn't get drafted.
Technically. He never got drafted, no, but... So, speaking about The Rock, now, wait a minute. Is there a new Jumanji film being made, or is it a reboot?
According to him, it's a sequel.
And according to things I've read, it's a reboot. Not a sequel.
Well, this is another, like, Ghostbusters situation where, like, everyone's just saying whatever they think.
Yeah. Well, the new Ghostbusters movie, it's half reboot, half sequel. But more.
Well, it's not a sequel because they don't reference anything from the original movies.
Yeah.
And it features the original cast as cameos, not their old characters.
Yep.
How?
Except Harold Ramis. He did not cameo.
God damn it. Well, Harold Ramis could have been one of the ghosts that they busted.
I'm sorry.
I apologize. Harold Ramis would have found something like that funny, though, because that's the type of humor he had. Fuck, he was funny. One of my favorite Harold Ramis movies of all time, Stripes. What about you, Omega? What was your favorite Harold Ramis movie?
Here's the bad part, is I don't really keep track of, like, writing credits like that.
Okay.
Like, of course I adore Ghostbusters.
Yep.
But I would have to look up a list of his movies, and I'm sure there's a ton of things in there that I've actually liked and watched.
You'd be surprised and shocked at how many things he either wrote or co-wrote.
Okay, I'm going to the wiki. I'm actually curious now.
Okay. Now, not only did he co-write Stripes, he also co-starred in it with Bill Murray. While you're doing that, Mike, do you have a movie on your mind that was
knocked up?
No.
No, I said knocked up.
Oh yeah. Well, he did. Yeah, not when he wrote. When he started.
Mm-hmm. Or if I have to, I would have to go. Believe it or not, I probably would have to go to Caddyshack.
Yes.
Caddyshack is good. Yes.
Very good, and he also had his fingerprints are all over that script.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Groundhog Day too.
Yep. He wrote so many good movies.
Lampoon's Vacation.
Yep. Omega, you're on the wiki now looking at all of the movies?
Uh-huh.
Are you surprised at some of the names that you see?
Yeah, I am.
I figured you would be. That's pretty shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, he did some really good ones and some really shit ones.
Well, you know, that's the thing. When you're in the business as long as he was, you're going to wind up with some shit. So,
like, he did the Rover Dangerfield movie, which is an animated comedy that's literally Rodney Dangerfield as a dog.
Yep. That was just like, oh, God, I want to make some money today, but I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm Harold.
I have a mortgage payment here.
Shit, that's what the Beatles did whenever they wanted to buy something. They'd just write something they knew would sell because of their name.
I think anyone creatively just knows, oh, hey, I've got shit to buy. Let's do this. I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some expenses coming up. I'm going to up my video count this month, and I'm going to put out some bigger videos. And this is how YouTube works, people.
Amen.
Absolutely. Anyway, so as you can see, he wrote a hell of a lot. But it's time we actually propel the show a little bit further forward here. As far as doing another Jumanji movie, what do you think about it? The idea, the fact that they're doing it.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Jumanji is always a fun little film. Like, I don't mind a sequel to kind of expand that universe. It's like, well, why the hell is there a board game that sucks people into it? Like, it's not like I want the Jumanji origin story, but obviously there's a universe there that can be expanded on. I mean, they did a cartoon out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are ideas you could flesh out and develop. I would be really curious to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
These are the thoughts that someone else is allowed to speak.
No, it's just, to me, I'm like, no Alan Parrish, no Jumanji, no Robin Williams camp.
But that's one reason I'm happy that it's not a remake. Like, I don't want Robin's work redone.
Yeah, that's like doing Mrs. Doubtfire 2, Flubber 2, all that. Anyway, but...
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm having a hard time with a sequel to Jumanji.
Wait.
Robin Williams is in it.
Hold on. He said Flubber 2. Why would you even want a Flubber 2?
Well, it's an example.
Flubber was a remake in the first place.
Why would anyone want more?
Remake of Robin Williams' Flubber.
No one would remake Robin Williams' Flubber. They'd remake the original.
The original starred, I want to say, Kurt Russell. Yes, it was Kurt Russell. Yes. When he was really young and it was a Disney movie.
Yes, and it didn't have, like, CGI dancing slime balls.
No, it just had this thing he put on the bottom of his shoes that made him able to jump even though he was a white guy.
No, it's a Woody Harrelson movie.
No, well, that's a different thing. Same concept, however. Different story. There you go. Everybody, right now, I think it's time to take our second time out of the evening, come back, and, what the hell, we'll play Pick'em on the other side of this little time out. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night World Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back.
But still the vines don't wait for the hands of time to beckon.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Looking for an excuse to be home on a Saturday night?
Here, I'm going to read my 100 calls, okay? Here, oh, wait. I got Mickie James. Very good done. The face works real good. Looks just like her. Sable from, you know, and I think they gave her the Brock Lesnar power set because she's pretty badass. Her and Ronda Rousey like to duke it out a lot. I got Jade. Two versions, not two characters, but two attires. Totally badass. I mean, like, these Mortal Kombat, they outdid themselves, these kids. Melina, Sindel. I've got Stargirl, which you wouldn't know her. She's a comic book character. And a Supergirl with two versions, two attires. Right off the bat, some of these just were so on the money. Terry Funk, Alberto Del Rio, like Hawk and Animal. Very good done. AJ Styles, which is one of my favorite calls.
He's just fucking badass to play. Baraka from Mortal Kombat with the teeth and shit like that. I got Apocalypse, old school. I got Barry Windham. Hair don't look right, but the face is real good. Character real works real well. I got a badass Carnage. I got Chatterer. Remember Chatterer from Hellraiser? Tinhead. Nemesis from Resident Evil. Remember him?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, oh, and the red, and he, like, the outfit's not the best, but it works. But the face, I mean, the Chatterer face, the Pinhead face, it's like this. I put them all together in Tulia. They're fucking incredible. I'm like, that totally kind of blew me away. I did not expect to get that. Didn't expect somebody to do an Apocalypse. Like I said, Carnage, but Carnage is badass. Very good. And you ready for this? I was very surprised to see him on here, and his face fits perfect. The character is badass to play. He's in my old school WCW, Barry Windham. Colossus, a really good Deadpool version of Colossus.
Then tune in Saturday nights at midnightish Eastern Time for CB Radio.
Speaking of Deadpool, I got me a badass version of Deadpool. I mean, Rock, this guy sat there and really went through the moves, because like his taunt, the moves he does, it makes you crack up laughing in the middle of the match.
This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the sensei of Madison. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch WrestleTalk Radio. And in closing, I am the one! Oh.
WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Time for WTR Pick'em. Once again, everybody play along, whether you're listening live or if you're listening to the archive. You by now, if you've been playing along previously, already know what to do. If you've never done it before, just head to facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like one, join the other. Post your pick'em picks for next Sunday night's Backlash. And we'll get that up there and see how you do. You could also email media at wildtalkradio.com or even tweet at wildtalkradio your Backlash picks. That being said, taking a look at this list of matches that we have, it's going to be a really long pay-per-view. So far, we've got 5 matches listed.
And...
Don't leave me hanging!
I don't know. We have 5 matches listed. You stop talking.
So far, we've got 5 matches listed.
Yes.
I'm just waiting for another one to get listed, because this is not big enough for a pay-per-view.
I mean, depending on how long the pay-per-view is going to be.
Oh, we have other
2 hours.
2 hours.
Anyway. It's going to be shorter than Raw.
So then the Tag Team Championship Tournament final and then the 6-pack Women's Challenge is definitely going to take over.
We're back to In Your House style pay-per-views for SmackDown brand.
Shawn Michaels dancing on top of the couch.
In Your House Backlash.
So, yeah, let's just start at the top of what's on the rundown sheet. It's the international
match.
International match, the Intercontinental Champion Miz defending against Dolph Ziggler, Omega.
I was discussing this last night. There are 2 trains of thought here. They could either be so big on the Miz that they're not going to take that IC title off of him for anything, or they could be so big on they want to take that belt off of him so he can challenge for the world title.
He can be the next WWE champion.
God, I hope.
Yeah, but ever since that promo, like, everyone's been, like, reevaluating Miz, and, like, you know, give the guy credit. He has not done a bad job considering what he's been given over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, 1 week we dress him up as a chicken, and this week he's delivering that promo.
And this week he's facing Colonel Sanders for the Intercontinental title.
So against my fantasy team, I am going to say Miz retains only because I don't think it's a level of like big on him where they're actually going to give him like space to go after the big belt yet.
I have a legitimate question to ask. You, Omega, and the other two can chime in as well. Why does Dolph Ziggler need the Intercontinental title?
The thing is, Ziggler needs credibility. You know, maybe an Intercontinental run would do that, but Ziggler has been on such a downward spiral. Like, he was so hot with the crowd. He was so popular. And then nothing happened with him. Like, well, Del Rio kicked a bruise into his brain. That's what happened. But you had this great amount of opportunity with him that went completely unrealized by WWE, and they've just floundered on what to do with the guy since. You know, what he doesn't need the IC belt. He needs whatever's going to bring him credibility and threat again. And at this point, he's not going to be able to stay a face and actually regain that level of credibility.
Okay. I'm just pointing that out. He doesn't need the Intercontinental title. So Tim, you bet he's
Yeah, so you've got Dolph Ziggler, Omega, on your team?
Ben? Yeah.
Okay, keep that. Mike?
I don't give a fuck about these two, but I'm just gonna say Dolph Ziggler.
You're just gonna say Dolph Ziggler. Well, you know, I was gonna pick Dolph Ziggler until I figured out that Omega had Dolph Ziggler, and so now I don't want Dolph Ziggler winning.
Oh no. Ziggler for me is an investment on a heel turn because it seems like the only thing they could do with him right now.
Shit. Keep the belt on The Miz for the time being. That's my pick, The Miz. That's my pick.
Well done, Tim.
Thank you. Okay, up next, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. We're going to Mike.
Randy Orton.
I don't know, but I think he picked Randy Orton.
I picked Randy because from what it's looking like, and I'm sorry, he needs a victory after that beating.
All right, Omega.
Yeah, it's Randy.
Okay, yeah.
I he deserves better, but Bray is the jobber for the top contenders that need to rebuild.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to say no points for Lindsay.
Which means he's going with Randy Orton.
That's absolutely right. What, you had to clarify that? People couldn't figure it out?
I had to clarify, make sure the intern knew exactly what you were doing.
Oh, well, the intern shouldn't be that dumb. Anyway.
it is our intern.
Have you met him?
Okay, I just want to point out, Kane Kittens, I'm not the one who just labeled all of those insults and directed them right at you. All I did was open the door, and they fired the shots.
Well, it's very easy to fire shots at the Dallas Cowboys because they have Mark Sanchez as their backup quarterback. Oh, wait. Oh, we're talking about wrestling, right? Wrestling.
Yeah. Didn't the Cowboys just trade somebody away?
No. Oh. The Eagles traded their quarterback away.
Oh, and you're happy about that?
Very.
Because your quarterback sucked.
We were paying him a lot of money, and now the Vikings have to. And we got a first-round pick back. That works.
He sucked and not in a good way. There you go.
Yeah. Very happy. You can check out the Rack Extra where I react to it right now at wildtalkradio.com.
Oh, my. SmackDown Women's Six-Pack Challenge. Okay, name them off, Rock.
Let's do it off the top of my head. Nikki Bella, Carmella, Naomi, Natalya, Becky, and I'm missing one. Alexa Bliss.
Alexa. All right, Omega.
Thank God Eva's not in this.
We don't know that.
She's suspended. Remember this.
No, her suspension isn't up before Sunday.
Oh, good. Please don't be a Paul Heyman girl. She pays your fees.
God, these kind of things are so hard right now because we've got a few that are just kind of be like, I feel like Nikki and Carmella already have a feud building up, because for whatever reason, Carmella just decided she hates Bellas.
Because Nikki called her a wannabe Bella, or second-rate Bella, or something like that.
But is it an extraordinarily soft insult for how many times she has slammed Nikki's head into things afterwards?
She knocked her off the table, the backstage table. She rolled all the way down. Like someone with a neck injury shouldn't be taking that fall.
Yeah, I don't care how healed you are.
She shouldn't be taking some of the risks she's taking, even how healed she believes she is.
I'm not taking after her brother-in-law.
Really, really is. Truly, honestly. So you mentioned Carmella and Nikki have a feud. I guess you could say Alexa and Becky have a feud a little bit as well.
Not as much.
And Naomi's just sort of there.
Yeah, Naomi's just in, like, I glow now.
Feel the glow.
Which, granted, I love that entrance. It takes way too goddamn long, but I love that entrance.
And then there's Natty.
Yeah.
Poor Natty. Poor Natty.
Bray Wyatt of the women's division.
Unfortunately, more fodder.
Deserves better.
Way better! I'm not saying that because she's a friend of mine.
She also can't be a heel.
She's not a good heel.
She's too nice to be a heel right now. So that's the inside breakdown. So Omega, who you got?
Right now, with the attitude in WWE of not going with the safe choices and trying to give nods to young blood, I'm actually going with Becky. I'll admit, with her track record, it's an outside shot, but...
So this is a strong outside shot.
It's not as outside as you think, I think. But, yeah, there's your pick. Omega picks Becky. Mike.
Good save.
You know what? I'm going to go with Becky.
Why are you going with Becky? Just because Omega did? You're such a copycat.
No. Because I really got to think about this, because she's worked hard. And I don't think they're going to throw a curveball and be like, here you go, Alexa Bliss, new champion. What?
Yeah, Alexa Bliss? Sure.
And also, well, okay.
Can that grass grow any greener?
It'll either be, and I hate doing this, it'll either be Becky or Natalia. And those two will be feuding. Either or, there's going to be a feud between them two for the title. One of them is going to win. But if I have to choose, definitely, I'll go with Becky.
Oh, I'm picking Becky.
Why are you picking Becky, Tim? Are you just copycatting off of Mike and Omega?
I was waiting for somebody to accuse me of being a copycat. No, I'm picking Becky because it's the classic, oh, you know, she's had hard luck and isn't getting anywhere, road to winning that we've seen. Again, it's also a case of what Omega pointed out, WWE actually doing the right thing. At the same time, maybe sticking their neck out a little bit, not doing the safe thing. They can't give the belt or the win or anything like that to Nikki. They can't do it for various different reasons.
Well, it's WWE, so...
At the very least, they can't give her that belt when she's still fresh off of an injury recovery.
That's one of it. The other thing is, she was a Divas title holder for how long? And they want to get away from any idea of a Diva division. They want it to be the women's division. Nikki holding that belt just brings it back the Divas division. And it absolutely goes contrary to everything that they want to get away from. Becky Lynch, part of this revolution in the women's division, coming up from NXT. She's been around long enough. She's already got established feuds on the main roster enough that we can expect good programs with three or four different names. It's got to be Becky. That would be the smart choice. If I was booking this, that's who I'd give the title to.
Okay.
Tell me that you like that or hate it. Just come on.
I'm not going to give any opinion on that.
Fine. Wait till Thursday night on the Rack with Lindsay Ward at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Exactly, because I'm not picking Becky Lynch. Anyway.
SmackDown Tag Team Championship Tournament Final, Rock.
So the semifinals, I believe, are this week on SmackDown unless they're doing it on the pay-per-view. But the semifinals is American Alpha versus the Usos on one side, and then the other side, I believe, is the Hype Bros versus Heath Slater and Rhino. I know everyone's disappointed that the Headbangers did not beat Heath Slater and Rhino.
That was a waste of a return.
It was the Headbangers. No one really cared.
Hey!
Okay, one Mike person cared.
Mike cared.
Mike matters.
Oh, God.
No, Tim, that was just... No.
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 Send all hate mail to admin at WrestleTalkRadio.com.
That was nothing to do with anything racially motivated. Fuck off. It's just coincidental. It was a play on it, though. Relax.
Again, admin at WrestleTalkRadio.com.
Again, oh, my God, you pussy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. What's the matter? You've never heard that word, Michael.
I have.
Really?
I have a commercial that he says it a bunch in, anyway.
Yeah, you see, he just walked all over me insulting Mike, and he never heard what I said.
Okay, say your comment out, Tim.
No, it's too late now.
Tim, why don't you go first in this pickle?
I was actually planning on it. So who are the potentials again? We've got the Usos.
Versus American Alpha.
American Alpha, and Rhino, and
Heath Slater.
Slater and
the Hype Bros.
Ugh! Watch WWE just piss everybody off, swerve us, and give it to Rhino and Slater.
Well, Heath Slater needs to win the tournament to get a job, so
it's kind of right there.
Yeah, but at the same time, they'll figure something else out when they lose. I'm having a hard time not picking the Usos.
I would have a very hard time picking the Usos. So you're going Usos?
I might as well.
Okay, I guess I'll lead. Mike, go.
It's kind of there and it's kind of, given to us. So let's go with the one man beast, Rhino and Slater.
One man beast. Did you just make that up?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Oh my God.
It's Slater and Rhino. Like this whole division seems like it's designed. The whole tournament is designed to just crown American Alpha with those belts right off the bat. Too much so. Like, to the point where, no, they're not gonna give it to them that fast. They're doing too much with Slater right now, and now the crowd is actually really behind Slater. To the point where I don't think they can push this off or come up with some other thing to, dangle the carrot and pull it out of grasp. It's time to end that part of the story and actually figure out something real to do with Heath.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there you go. Then it's the WWE Championship match. Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles, Mike.
Give me my points, AJ Styles.
AJ Styles because Mike wants points. Yeah, that's a pick 'em.
No. It's time for a new champion. Time for fresh meat. No pun intended. Because from the way that I'm looking at it, from the way I'm seeing it, every title world champion of WWE now is an indie guy. Let's not break the streak.
But they already have the indie guy as the champion.
Shut up!
Just pointing that one out.
Shut up!
Alright, Omega.
Thing is, Ambrose hasn't actually held that belt for very long. He's mostly been feuding with the same old people. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing him go with AJ a little bit longer. I wouldn't mind seeing what else they could do with him as champion, because I don't see I don't see where he has any place to go without that belt. I will go with Ambrose.
Tim?
Well, AJ Styles will hold that belt. Just not after next Sunday. That's going to be a little ways down the way yet. Eventually, he's going to be the SmackDown World Champion. Ambrose is going to retain for the next little while.
So there you have it. There'll be other matches announced, either Baron Corbin versus Kalisto or Kane. I would assume there's going to be a match at some point.
God, no.
It's going to be a thing, Omega. I'm sorry. And I have no idea what else they're going to do on the show. There's no other feud. So we'll see what happens at Backlash.
It's like they just threw this roster together like a month ago.
Yeah. Sort of a thing. sir, a thing. As always, go to facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network. Leave your picks there. Before we get to the all-time greatest, we need to go over WTR Fantasy from last week. Officially, Team Tim had -4 points. Team Intern had -1. Team Mike had 7. Team Lindsay had 9. Team Omega had 13. And Team Rock had 23. It was not a good week for Team Tim.
Team Rock is going to lose 20 points next week, and I'm going to gain 30, so it's okay.
The best is when Tim goes, how many points do I have right now? You have this amount. And then 30 minutes later, it was like half of that. That's great.
We'll piss up a rope.
So, week 2, we'll keep up the at Wild Talk Radio on the Facebooks. We'll let you know how awful Team Tim is doing.
Just get on with the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
New Japan's Bullet Club takes on the corporate ministry, Omega.
I will take the corporate ministry. Because while the Bullet Club is huge in Japan, it's got a big following. Let's be honest, it's NWO. Like, right down to black and white shirts. It's the same story.
Don't forget about the Too Sweet.
Yeah, same hand gesture, everything. Like, this is NWO rebranded for copyright reasons. You know, the only difference is they do it in New Japan, where it's a bunch of Americans coming in and being the bad guys and being like American wrestlers who cheat all the time. Boo, America. And like, but they're still the biggest stars, so yay, America. Corbin Ministry just had this, like, you know, clearly by name, this really dark tone to it that I kind of dug. Granted, fair share of stupid. It's me, Austin.
All along.
Yeah, you know, but it was two really dangerous factions aligning themselves. It was Undertaker at his absolute darkest. Like, he's literally trying to sacrifice people live on the air.
Yeah.
We don't see that anymore.
But we could. It'd be awesome if we did.
It'd be awesome if I could see a human sacrifice.
It'd be amazing.
Blood for the blood god.
Oh, God, I already had one host who went through that shit. All right, taking the ministry.
Those Omega's having flashbacks now.
Oh, God. I can hear Weird Al already.
PTSD.
Mike.
Tierra Studios.
As much as soon as I make my decision, oh, God, a bunch of Christian shows start blowing on my TV. So then I guess they know my answer. I'm going to go with the corporate ministry. You can't beat the fact
they're going to hell, young man.
Oh, dear God. Just like it said, New Japan's Bullet Club, redundant. Come on. Just because you got, like, the offspring of Scott Hall doesn't mean you guys can be them. Anyway, but yeah, corporate ministry, they were always trying to sacrifice somebody, and they had a bunch of characters, bunch of talent, and they were in like a lot of the storylines in WWE anyway, besides the Generation X. So, corporate ministry.
Before I go to Tim.
What for the blood god?
Tim.
I have nothing to add that these two other jokers haven't said already, but yeah, corporate ministry.
And the people went with the New Japan's Bullet Club with 56% of the vote.
Sheep!
Now!
But the corporate ministry moves on. Up next, the Right to Censor takes on the Million Dollar Corporation, Mike.
The FCC versus the Trump administration. Okay. I don't know. Right to Censor was just too freaking hilarious for me. Brawn panties match! Wait a minute! Right to Censor! No! Really? Then it's so bad because the Godfather tried to be the good father. And then he was like, he saw Ho and then went back to the Godfather. Man! Right to Censor ruined everything. Then the Million Dollar Corporation was just like, we have money. What do you want to do? You can lay down? Cool. But, I'm sad to say, classic tag team, classic stable, classic group, Million Dollar Corporation.
Now before I go to Omega.
There was no beat, no music, just sirens.
Sirens. Wait, no, wait, here's a beat. There is a little bit of a beat to it.
Yeah.
What?
There's a little bit
of the right to censor, yo.
Omega.
No, I was going Million Dollar Corporation, but we found the beat. We're going right to censor. No, right to censor was hysterical. It was WWE in the Attitude Era lampooning the censors that were constantly on their doors. You can't do that. You can't say that. So, okay, here's what we really think of you. Here's a faction led by Steven Richards, who are going to be all up in everyone's face over censorship, and you can't have violent matches, you can't have broad panty matches, you can't have exposed breasts, you can't swear. It was such a, like, WWE-style lampooning of their own issues, and it was fun to watch. Yeah, they come out to the sirens and ruin all the fun. That's the point. They pissed you the fuck off. It's like, We're having a good time, you assholes. It's one of those teams where it's like, we're not after control, we're not after titles, we're here to fuck up your good time. Which is a little more, like, personal. You know, on the other hand, you got the Million Dollar Corporation where, you know, really, it literally is just DiBiase paying guys. Like, it's just guys he hired on. You know, there's no real purpose to the group other than, well, we're kind of paid to be together. You know, sometimes it includes fake Undertakers, and sometimes it includes evil Santa Clauses, which is kind of a bizarre little footnote in a team, in a faction like that. You know, just for creativity and because I love any excuse to go fuck censors, I will go right to censor.
And to break the tie, Tim Stein.
Oh, God, I hate this. Right to censor pissed me off. I was pissed off that Ivory was in right to censor, too. I don't know why that pissed me off. It just did. I can't elaborate on right to censor and say anything that you haven't said about them, Omega. They did their job. It was, you know, they weren't out for titles. They were out to keep you from enjoying yourself. Million Dollar Corporation. Hey, I got money. Do something for me. This is not as easy a pick as one would think. But at the end of the day, I'm picking the Million Dollar Corporation.
Really?
What did they pick? They picked Right to Censor?
No, they picked the Million Dollar Corporation.
Oh, okay.
But I was disappointed. I wanted the Right to Censor to move on. Omega,
yeah.
Omega made such a great argument. Shame. They were 75% with the Million Dollar Corporation.
You know, I argued to get him back on the list in the first place.
He did.
I wanted to, because it's such a unique faction. They shouldn't be compared to a faction that was just, we have money.
They had money, but they never were successful. All the money in the world didn't get them anything. It got them the Undertaker's urn, and then they lost it. And they lost the fake Undertaker. And
They hired the 1-2-3 kid, because that was apparently a good idea.
Right. Right, the censor at least was, you know, did its job.
Yeah, Tim, they pissed you off. That means they did what they were supposed to do.
I know.
They had one job.
I know that. Mike, are you changing your vote?
Nope.
Omega, are you changing your vote?
No.
But you expect Tim to change his vote?
Nope. I don't. I have learned years ago not to expect anything from you, Tim.
Attaboy. And wait a minute.
Amen.
You shut up, Mike. You haven't been around long enough.
No, but he's been around long enough for...
And now, here is the star of WTR Sunday night,
Tim Stein.
I never scripted that, by the way.
Just go to Quick Hits.
No, no, it's not time yet. It's not time yet.
I don't care.
Hey, Mike. If he didn't pick on you, it meant that he didn't love you.
So sadly, the million-dollar corporation moves on because Tim doesn't know how to pick things correctly.
Shut up, you!
You don't get to swear. None of you get to swear anymore. Rock, I want to bleep every time they swear.
Okay. I don't fucking think so. You didn't bleep?
No, I didn't. We'll start that next week.
Yeah, next week.
No.
Anyway, next week on the all-time greatest, it's the 80s version of the Four Horsemen taking on the Corporation. And the WCW Alliance taking on the 90s version of the Four Horsemen.
God damn it.
That's next week in the all-time greatest. Now, Mike, it's Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for you, Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
These are very simple and easy questions tonight. We'll start with Mike. Mike, who was the worst member of the NWO?
Booker T.
The WCW version of the NWO, I should be more specific.
The worst member? Core NWO or, like, WCW in general NWO?
WCW in general NWO.
Buff Bagwell.
Okay, Tim, who was the worst member of the NWO?
Horace.
Okay. Omega, who was the worst member of the LWO?
I knew you'd throw a twist. I have to remember who the hell was in the LWO.
That juice.
He was, but I can't deny the guy was talented in WCW. Again, like the LWO was basically every Hispanic on the roster, which is mostly in the cruiserweights because they had Psicosis, they had La Parca. You know, I'm actually going to give it to La Parca.
The chairman of WCW?
The chairman, yeah. I always called the puffy skeleton man.
There you go. All right, Mike.
I don't know why, but for some reason I have expected you to pick Juventud.
Because the guy's a dick. I almost did. I can't really deny, like, when he was in WCW, he was a good cruiserweight performer.
Yeah.
And then he was a Mexicool, and fuck him.
All right, Mike, who was your favorite WCW announcer?
Why do you have to think about this?
I know. Because I wasn't that much of a... Oh, fuck it.
You could say Stagger Lee Marshall. You could say Mike Tenay. You could say Steve Mongo McMichael.
See?
Stop.
Not announcers and commentators.
That's part of the announce team.
No, Tenay. And actually the team of Bischoff, Tenay, and Heenan.
Okay. Tim, who is your favorite WCW announcer?
Well, just to clarify, the announce team would be the commentators. Anybody on the mic and actually talking for any length of time that is not simply assigned as a role of a of an interviewer. Mike Tenay.
Okay. And to Omega, who was your favorite member of the Misfits in action?
God damn.
Shit. See, I was expecting another twist. It's like, who's your favorite announcer from ECW? Like, wait.
There's only one announcer.
No, that's not true. Joel Gertner was a commentator.
Yeah.
Briefly, yes.
And so was, what's his name? Don Callis.
Yeah, but still, nobody's not picking Joey.
No, you know, you asked me who my favorite announcer is all time, period. I'd have a hard time not picking Joey. For the Misfits, and actually, God, why the fuck the Misfits? I will actually go with Hugh Morris, or Hugh G. Rection. Simply because I love how seriously he took that.
He did.
It's like, no, this is my, you know, like, everyone thinks I'm a joke because my name is Hugh Morris. I'm going by my real name from now on, Hugh G. Rection.
He was General Hugh G. Rection.
Yeah. Like, Booker T left and promoted him to General Rection.
WCW, everybody. WCW. Where would we be without WCW?
Where everyone in that faction was an awful pun that even G.I. Joe wouldn't have touched.
I was about, you know, I was just thinking they actually had G.I. Bro there at one point.
Yeah. That was the whole thing, was like, that was Booker T, it was like an indie name Booker T had, and then they made a whole faction based on that, and then he left.
Poor Chavo Guerrero.
All right, Lieutenant Loco. God.
Mm-hmm.
That does sound like a G.I. Joe character.
The more you know.
No, and now I know. The more you know is everything.
I know. No. And knowing is half the battle.
And that's the quick hits.
Did I get two quick hits questions? I only remember one.
No, yeah, I went last both times.
You had NWO. Because
Rock wanted to try and fuck with me.
NWO member and announcer.
Wow, that's right, I did. Because I was going to ask, as far as, could I pick Major Guns?
No.
Damn! Well, in that case, I'll just say thanks everybody for tuning in tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, the post-show shows up.
Yes, there's a 78% chance there's a Raw post show tomorrow night. If there is, I'll be doing it. So tune in, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Are you 100% certain?
I'm 78% certain that we're doing a post show tomorrow.
Okay, there you go. Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. It's another episode of the multi-time, multi-yard winning The Rack.
That is 100% for sure. We're doing The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go check out The Rack Extra. Featuring my comments about Sam Bradford. Check out RackRadioShow.com. Coming soon at some point will be the Rack Extra Dragon Con edition. But we'll talk Backlash, NXT, and so much more Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com. Go to YouTube.com/RackRadioShow to see all the simulations for Backlash as well. Yep, there you go.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it, Eastern time. It's another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Weird, the Unusual, the Warped CB Radio.
Subway is still listing off all his creator wrestlers. So tune in. Saturday night, midnight is live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And coming soon, King Kittens will be listing off every single movie he owns. CB Radio, Saturday night's midnight is, as we close in on episode 450 in 2 weeks. T-Brita Live on Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies.
And, of course, don't forget, immediately following the pay-per-view next Sunday night, WTR Sunday night will be taking to the airwaves. So it'll be 11-ish. I started thinking it could be 9 Mountain Time. It could be 8:30 Mountain Time. Depends on how long Backlash goes for. But plan for 11 Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain.
At Wild Talk Radio on Facebook, or Twitter rather, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, group/Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook as well. Get us on iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network.
Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. Just do it. Omega's on the Twitter machine.
I am, where you can find me on Twitter at TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the website with a bunch of exclusive videos. TJ Omega is also the YouTube channel where I'm going to be out for a good chunk of next week, so the percentage is actually low that I will not have content every single day, but I'll still have something up there to watch almost every day. And if you're the Facebook type and you don't feel like typing in TJ Omega, you can also type in TJ Reviews, and you will also find me there.
It's so annoying. No, I know. No copy and paste for Facebook. Mike!
And for those of you that want to continue seeing the rage and the evil black guy, you can just look for me up on Twitter at the WTR Oreo. And follow me and I'll follow you. And there may be some videos and whatnot of wrestling and all that jazz. So yeah, add me.
Wait. Evil black guy? Does that mean you're evil?
No.
Let's wrap it up, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night immediately following Backlash. Have a great week.